Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I don't have a microphone on yet because Cynthia McGuire is here, and she's going to be presenting an update from her ministry in Papua New Guinea. Excited for you to hear her. It's good to be back, but today is not about me. It's about Cynthia. Next week we'll talk, all right? So, really glad to have Cynthia here, and looking forward to hearing what she has for us. And so, Cynthia, we want to give you as much time as you can, so please come share what God is doing in Papua New Guinea.
It's so good to be with you guys again. I've been looking forward to this. It's been so fun to visit all my churches, to meet new friends, to see old friends, and it's been a blessing to be able to travel around and be with you guys. In the Midwest, I'm petrified about hitting a deer. I'm driving around looking because I've seen all these dead deer on the side of the road and all these herds of deer on the sides, and had a couple of close calls, but so far I've not been successful in my deer hunting, which is good. But otherwise, driving in the Midwest is just gorgeous, especially with the color changes. We don't have season changes in Papua New Guinea, so it has been so pretty and so relaxed. I don't like driving in big cities. Indianapolis, you know, you can have it. Greenville's okay, because I'm familiar with it, but I do love being up here in the Midwest. So I know many of you were here when I was here before. Some of you weren't. So I am a medical missionary in Papua New Guinea. I've been there for 5 years total. I did 2 years short term, and then I came and visited you guys and most of the churches who took me on after that 2 year short term, and now I've just completed 3 more years. And then back for just a 6 month furlough. I'll be going back, Lord willing, in January 15th, flying out again. So this has been a very, very busy time, going all kinds of different places. And I do praise the Lord for safety on the roads. Minus the deer, there's lots of crazy drivers out there too, and I do my own share of inattention and, oh Lord, thank you for saving me, because that was a really stupid move that I made. So God really has protected me. I'm thankful for my vehicle. Brian Baptist in Brooklyn Park has a vehicle ministry, and they are allowing me to use this vehicle for my entire furlough. They're paying my insurance. I'm under their church insurance, and I just pay for my gasoline and minor maintenance of the vehicle. Very, very thankful for that ministry. I guess it was started by an older guy who wanted to turn it over to the church, and the church agreed to take it over, and it has been a huge, huge blessing. So I'm thankful for that as well. And when I go to my different churches, I want to be very certain to express my appreciation for your prayers, for your support, for everything you do to encourage me. When I'm over in Papua New Guinea and I think of my supporting churches and all the individuals who support me, pray for me, email me, just all the different ways to support your missionaries, that really does warm my heart when you're halfway around the world and you realize that you've got a team behind you. And just the body of believers. It's amazing. You can go into a body of believers you've never met before and you have that bond. And you enjoy one another and you're thankful for one another. And you think about the time that one day we will be around the throne all together, every nation, tribe, language, tongue, around the throne of God, and that will be such a blessing. It's also nice, you know, 100 years ago, you wouldn't even get news from your missionaries for like a 6 month, 1 year delay as these letters come on a ship back and forth. And now, if there's something time sensitive, I can send an email out and say, okay, guys, pray like right now. And I know that people are going to be praying. That is truly a blessing to have that faithful prayer. I do come from Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Pastor Mark Minnick is my sending pastor and sending church. And I'm also with the Mission Board Gospel Fellowship Association. That also is in Greenville, South Carolina. Very thankful for the Mission Board. When you pray for your mission boards or missionaries, thank the Lord for their mission boards. They do so much to help us in the day-to-day grind as far as finances, taxes, paying bills. I'll send them an invoice and say, hey, can you pay this invoice for this shipping or this whatever or this bill, and they're on it. They transfer my money. In fact, I just contacted them a couple days ago because I have a bank account in PNG that I transfer money back and forth with my team or pay different bills that have to be paid from that, and they're just right on it as far as that. And so very thankful for my board and all the support that they give me. All right, so now we are advancing let's see, 15 time zones to Papua New Guinea. You can kind of see where we are and then all around. We actually go around the back way because we would go from LAX and go around the back way to Papua New Guinea, but you get the picture. And for those who don't know or forget, we are an island right above Australia. And it is split into two. So when you see the next picture I'm going to pull up, just to reorient you, we are the right side of the island. The left side of the island belongs to Indonesia. Our right side of the island is independent from Australia as of 1975. That gives PNG some challenges as far as government and medical and education. A lot of those things are not doing so well yet. They're trying, but lots of things that still need to develop in our infrastructure and our government and all of these kinds of things. But we are independent, and they are proud of that independence. Sometimes, just as a side note, you'll get confused when you hear about the left side of the island. It's got many different names, one of which is Papua. You're like, well, that's confusing. One side is Papua, and the other side is Papua New Guinea. You'll also hear Dutch Indonesia, Dutch New Guinea. You'll hear Irian Jaya, but the one I've heard most recently is either Papua or West Papua, and so that is confusing. But that is another part of another country. So the right side's independent. So there we are. We're right in the middle of the highlands, right in the middle of Papua New Guinea, way up in the mountains, and it is not hot there. We're 50s to 70s year-round. It's rainy, kind of clammy, cool. In the middle of the day, it'll be sunshine on a non-cloudy day, and we'll get maybe in the upper 70s, but generally it's kind of cool, clammy, wet throughout the year. And you see we're right in the middle of Chimbu province. I've put an enlargement of Chimbu there. We're in Ibai, and that's where we live in a little farming community. We're about 4 hours drive from the provincial capital of Kundiawa. That's where I would have to send people for medical emergencies. And that depends on if the road's working or not. I just heard a couple days ago that near us on a place called Parowi, part of the road came down again with the landslide and blocked the road. Thankfully, God had provided for us because Josh, one of our team members, had gone out on a supply trip. He was actually trying to fly back, was halfway back to Ibai, and the clouds and rain came in, and he wasn't able to come in. So they had to fly him back with all the supplies back to Goroka, and he had to hop a car. Our pastor, assistant pastor, has a vehicle that was near town, picked him up. They got through, and then that night the landslide came down. He would have been trapped on the other side. So God really did provide for us in that way. Speaking of different teams, in the middle I just mentioned Josh and Natalie Perkins. They have 5 kids. Michael and Janice Bourbon, Matt and Rebecca Crane. So we have 3 families. The Bourbon's kids are grown and gone. But the other two have young kids, and they're all working together for the ministry there. The guys take turns preaching, either clinic or to church plants. The guys take turns taking care of us single women as far as our houses and maintenance and generators and all the things that can go wrong, sewer pits and everything else. One day I was looking up at my old roof. You guys who watch my reports, you know I have a new roof on my house now, but the old roof leaked a lot. And there was one day I'm looking up and a stick had come through my roof, straight through a hole like this in my roof. And so I'm like, Mr. Bourbon, help. And he and Matt came over and plugged the hole with caulk and duct tape. And so bush repairs are great, and our guys are good at them. Matt and Rebecca do a lot with the Christian school. Josh and Natalie are hoping in the future to do some stuff with flight with our own GFA airplane, which we don't have yet. It's in the process of being built and developed. He wants to do outreach with our with young men, especially, who want extra training for Christian ministry, for in the church. A lot of people who want extra education but don't have the means to get it, and doing Bible education, either going out to them or bringing them back to Ibai. That's where his heart is. Lonita's our Christian school person. Rachel and I in the middle at the clinic. We're both nurse practitioners, family nurse practitioners. And then Belinda Richter, who came back with me, we're both on furlough together. She does literacy. She does religious instruction in the schools. She does a lot of individual outreach, women's Bible studies, all kinds of stuff like that. And she's also one of the glue that keeps our teams together. She can see a need way ahead, and she knows how to meet it. She knows how to bring the pieces together. She's very gifted in that area. Very thankful for Belinda. Y'all can pray for Rachel. She's still in the middle of a medical workup and trying to find some treatment for some physical problems she's had. So she is actually back in the state. She's in South Carolina with her family. So the clinic is currently closed. And we're waiting for one of us to be able to get back. Whether I get back in January or she gets back before me, we'll be able to open the clinic again. Kierith Hamilton, if you guys know Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate, this is Patch the Pirate's niece. Her dad, Terry Hamilton, and is Ron Hamilton's brother, and she's there in Iowa. I'm actually going to go see her family tomorrow and Tuesday because Kierith collected a bunch of medical supplies for me, and they're at her house. So I need to box them up and get them ready for shipping over to Papua New Guinea and see her family as well. I'm very thankful for her. She actually did go back to iBuy. She can't open the clinic. She is an ER nurse, not a nurse practitioner, but she's doing tons of stuff as far as helping the different missionaries with music, with some education stuff, with all kinds of extra things, and very thankful for Kira. She also got one of our newest lab machines up and running. It's been much more complicated than we ever could have thought, but it's something that will help us do blood chemistries like electrolytes and cholesterol and some of these things we haven't been able to do. And it's been much more complicated process, but she was able to do a two-day training with the guy in Port Moresby through a WhatsApp video and was able to get that up and running. So very thankful for Kira's willing to do anything and everything, and she's very talented. Once we finish with her in March or April, she'll be going on again to be house help for one of our other GFA missionary families who's in another location in Papua New Guinea. That place is called Kiari. It's only about 30 miles from us, but it takes about 6 hours on a good day to drive it if the roads are open. So even though we're close, we're not so close. But very thankful that Kierith can jump around and help all of us. All right. First, I want to, during this term, praise the Lord for what he's doing in people's lives. Here, things don't go fast. Lots of revolving doors, up, down, just like in the States as well in ministry. But God is doing work in these people's lives here. I think specifically of Maria and Anna Stanley, the one at the top there. Both of them have made previous professions of faith, but have really, crashed and burned and struggled. Maria is now a single mom of two kids. And two different dads, but is not married. And her family's pushing her to try to go into a heathen marriage as a second or third wife. She has resisted, kind of, sort of, back and forth. It's a struggle. Recently in the clinic, around July, she did, I got to talk with her right before I left, and talked with her about her need for either salvation or getting right with the Lord. And she'll listen, but she's just kind of what we call in PNG dry face, or, kind of noncommittal. But Rachel got a chance to talk with her after I left, and she did make another profession of faith recently. She does need to grow, and she needs to be in the Word. She knows how to read. She was in our Christian school years ago. But it's a hard when they have heathen family members, unsafe family members that are pushing them into sin that is culturally acceptable. That's very, very difficult, especially for one who's single with two kids. It's hard. So you can pray for some of these ladies. Anna Stanley, similar situation. Her man is unsaved. And it's a struggle for her. She was coming to church pretty faithfully right before I came back. But it's hard. It's a struggle. Anna Andrew, I smile when I think about her because she did struggle. She dropped into sin and got very stubborn in going her own way. We pled with her not to marry an unsaved guy, and she did go forward with that, even though she could have pulled away short of marrying him. She was pregnant with his baby, and she determined she was going to go that way. So now she's married an unsaved guy, and it's hard. And many of these girls never come back. But Anna did. After about a year, she came back. She asked forgiveness of God, asked forgiveness of the church, and started coming again, growing again. And this picture we took together right before I left, we spent about an hour just studying scripture together and looking at some passages and trying to encourage her in the Lord. But it's a hard road ahead. People around her making fun of her and her family, not encouraging her to be with the body of believers, but I try to encourage her to be with believers as much as she can and seek that encouragement there. Helen, she also makes me smile. Helen, when I was here before, 4 years ago, I was putting her name forward and her picture forward as somebody who needed prayer. She was a modern Samaritan woman, had been with several different men, had babies with them, and very sad, miserable, sad eyes. But we had a relationship. I would take care of her and her baby in the clinic and was praying for her during my deputation. When I went back, shortly after, she got pregnant yet again with another man. And so I saw her in prenatal clinic on a number of occasions. One day, she showed up to prenatal clinic, and so did the true wife of the man she was pregnant with. And so both of them were there at prenatal clinic. It didn't go over so well. They had a little fight in the street. And as a result of that fight, I was able to talk with Helen again very directly. I said, you know, you are in sin. You need help. You need God's help. You can't help yourself. And God needs to save you. You need to call on him for salvation. Gave her the gospel. Well, she's, again, noncommittal, listening, but not really understanding. And one Tuesday morning, January 25th, she came. She was in labor, and I got to deliver her baby, Mane, who's going to be 3 in January. And about 6 weeks later, she brought Mane to clinic for shots and checkup. And took care of Mane, and then started to talk with her. I had a liberty from the Lord to go further with her this time. And I said, Helen, what is keeping you from believing in Christ? And she said, nothing. I said, are you ready to call on the Lord for salvation? Are you ready to pray and ask him to save you? And she said, yes. So that morning in clinic, number one, Mane, who just received shots, slept through the whole thing, which was amazing. I was praying that he would. And we started talking, and she prayed and accepted the Lord as her Savior. Shortly after that, we did some discipleship together. But she just kind of fell away again. But her team was praying for her. And Jan Bourbon, our senior missionary's wife, went after her again and started Bible study with her and started helping her firm up on some understanding, whether she had believed in Christ truly or hadn't understood, or whether she believed in Christ a little later. God knows her heart, but she started growing. And Jan was discipling her as older mother to younger mother and worked with her every single week. And she started coming to church cleaning, was being very faithful, was learning, growing, and she wasn't sad anymore. And it was neat to see her eyes change. And towards the end of last year, I started asking, can we use her in the nursery ministry? And Mr. Bourbon said, let's wait a little bit. Position is huge, even for something as lowly as the nursery ministry. Wait a little bit. Let's see how she does with her testimony. And she did well. In January of this year, we were able to put her in the nursery ministry and as part of the ministry in the church. And that was so exciting to see how God's been working in her life. This particular picture, she's washing potatoes, sweet potatoes, because we had gone out to her garden. And we were just fellowshipping, talking. She already knew I was coming back to the States, and she was, you know, sad about that. I'm going to miss you so much, and I'm going to miss you, but I'm going to be praying for you, and I'll pray for you too. And we're praying for her kids to be saved. And so good, really good relationship. But it's neat to see over time, even before I got there, she's a community lady. So she had heard the gospel many, many, many times over the years, and she finally believed. Praising the Lord for opportunities for outreach. Ambai here, she's one of our ladies in Keelau. She we'll go out and visit other ladies in the area, and we want them to be reaching out. We tell them, look, I can reach out to them, and I can give them the gospel, and I can encourage them, but you're in the culture. You know the language much better than I do. That's your language, and you'll do it so much better than a white skin would. And she goes out and ministers. CB, little girl in the pink, was our landslide girl. She got trapped in the landslide. Her 3 younger siblings died, and she survived, and Ambai has been reaching out to her and her family, bringing her to clinic, brought her to church once. Joyce, in PNG culture, when people are grieving, sad, trying to get attention, mad, they'll cut off parts of their fingers. And especially at times of funerals, women used to do that. You'll often see women with parts of their fingers missing. Joyce cut off her finger, and then she came to clinic for medical care. And I knew that she was from Ambai's area, so I said, Ambai, can you go reach out to Joyce? And she did, and she continues to do so. There's another lady named Nancy, who her husband has deserted her right before she was going to deliver her 8th baby, and Ambai ministers to her as well, trying to give them the gospel and encourage them. Maike, she was the one a couple years ago who was in danger from a Sanguma attack when her husband, who was well-known, died, probably of a heart attack, and God saved her life and saved the other ladies' lives around her, and she finally was able to come back to church. She's at church cleaning there. We have to clean the church inside and out every Saturday morning, and she also works in nursery with me. Very joyful to be back and serving the Lord. Janet, I mentioned her. in my deputation as well. She's a believer, but has gone up, down, up, down, up, down. Finally came back to the village a couple of years ago with her husband, with her first baby girl, who was about a year and a half, and she was pregnant with number two. Got to deliver number two. Well, actually, number two pre-sipped outside. got to help her during her delivery, and that's one of my baby Cynthia's, her second daughter. And Janet has been growing, learning. Her husband may or may not be saved, but we're praying that they will be faithful and learn and grow together as a Christian family. And Janet and Helen have been part of a baptismal class, and they will be baptized, I believe, next Sunday. We just had a big baptism this Sunday, which was yesterday for you guys, for the Keilau Church, and there will be one for the Ibai Church next week. So we're excited to see Janet and Helen both follow the Lord in baptism. God preserves life. That is one big reason for medical ministry. Medical ministry, humanitarian-wise, I can give all the medicine I want. I can give them all the medical treatment I want to give them. But unless I am giving them something of eternal value, unless God is working in their life for eternity and to give eternal life, it's not going to matter. They will die one day and they will go to hell. And so one of the things that I'm part of is, hey, if I can help them so that they will stay alive longer and they will have a chance to believe in Christ, that's one big part of my ministry. Roslyn had some delivery complications. We actually had to drag her up to the clinic in the middle of the night because she needed IV fluids and needed help having the baby. And I was concerned for her because she'd had problems with the previous delivery. She'd also lost an 11-month-old a year before. And God saved her life, saved her baby's life. And Roslyn needs to be saved. Roslyn made a profession of faith several years ago, but it's just become harder and harder and harder against the Lord. And she will not talk about spiritual matters. We will bring them up. And these kinds of things, you tell them, look, God saved your life. He was merciful to you. And we want the goodness of God to lead them to repentance. CB, I mentioned already, our little landslide girl. Mari and Job, if you followed my letters, and we had to get her out on the chopper, and God gave us a very narrow window of time for the New Tribes chopper to come in and get her at a very limited notice, and God saved her life, saved her baby's life, and so when we see that, again, it gives us open doors to say, look at the mercy of God, look at the goodness of God, not just for your physical life, but for your spiritual life. Joyce almost bled to death after a delivery. She came really close to having the baby on the road. If she had, she very likely would have died. The fact that she had the baby in clinic, I was able to jump on the bleeding right away and give her all the medicine she needed, start IV fluids, and to take care of her and her baby, and she lived, and baby lived. And very thankful for that, but again, it gives us the open doors with them. Prenatal clinic, this lady Maria started asking lots of questions, and Nancy and I, you see Nancy and I to the left of the picture, she's our clinic worker on Friday, so both of us were talking with Maria, answering her questions, and we finally got to go visit her and her family, give them the gospel, give a whole bunch of extended family the gospel, and praying that they will eventually come to church. He can read, she can't, but they have a Bible, they have some literature to look through and to read, and we're praying for God to work in their lives. God has, He provided our needs. Before, we talked about the landslides, the road was closed, the airstrip was closed, which is why we had trouble getting Maria out for her C-section. We were having trouble getting fuel, but God has provided all of those needs and helped us have what we need. The next slide, I'm going to give you just a view of what it looks like for us when we see a plane take off. And actually, this is the plane that took CB out. And as you looked at the plane take off, you will see lots of water and mud spewing from the wheels. Glynis, who's from New Zealand, she's our MAF pilot. She closed her airstrip right after she flew out, but thank the Lord she got CB out before our strip was closed. So you can see a little vision of our grass airstrip here. If you watch, you'll see lots of mud and water and just kind of junk coming out from the wheels. And it was a tough takeoff, but she made it. She's an extremely good pilot. Very thankful for Glynis and all the other pilots who do risk their lives when they're doing flight to many of our areas. But that is our grass strip, and that's the view we have when we watch a plane take off. Praising the Lord for what he's done in our churches. I mentioned the baptism. They finished the baptism class, and now they're in the middle of doing the baptisms, and I'll show you a picture of that In the next slide. Brother David, he is our associate pastor based in Keelau, and he's working on a Philippians study. Now, this is a man who hasn't had very much education. I would say probably fourth or fifth grade. I'm not certain. I do know that he didn't know how to read, and he went to Belinda's Read School to learn how to read. And he's learning how to study the Bible, learning how to preach. He's very zealous for the Word of God and for giving the gospel to people. The Amia Ministry, a location that our men take turns going to every other weekend. It's about a six-hour walk to get there. He's very zealous for that. But doing a book study is hard. Preaching is hard. And Mr. Bourbon is teaching him and helping him learn how to systematically study the Bible and preach it. And he will get up and he will say, look, this is hard for me. Please pray for me. This is something I don't know how to do very well. But he's learning and he's growing, and we pray that the Lord will use him. Here's the picture of our baptism. They had to dam up the stream. And then you see all the people behind. If I'm not mistaken, trying to look closely at this girl's face, this is a girl. I'm going to blank out on her name. She was a girl that kind of also did a little bit what Anna did, went away into immorality, determined to marry an unsaved man, and she did marry this unsaved man. But she came back to the Lord. I delivered her baby. He's probably about 9, 10 months old. Little bit of a rough delivery, but God helped us through it. And she has been coming faithfully and wanted to be baptized on her profession of faith. She had been saved maybe a year or two before she started all the going down the wrong road. But it's exciting to see God working in their lives, and we're praying for God to continue to use them. Another man that God is using, Sam, he's our church intern. He's studying online in a Bible institute in the Philippines called BJMBC, or Bob Jones Memorial Bible College. It was started by GFA missionaries many years ago. And he's studying online along with another young man named Junya, who just started studying. And so Sam often leads the music. He preaches some. And he's able to, since he's studying online, he's able to serve in the village. He also is key. If there's village problems like Sanguma, he is key in helping talk it down. They respect him. They look up to him. And they listen to him. And he has been key in talking down a number of the sorcery Sanguma type accusations or just problems, rivalries in the village. And we pray often for him that God will give him wisdom. I'm going to do a clip here so you can see the inside of our Keelau church. And they're going to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. You boss in me, God, is the song. And you can see kind of some of our people, what they look like. You'll see Mr. Bourbon, Mrs. Bourbon in there. You'll see, I believe, Josh and some others of our national people. There's Beta, clinic worker. Notice our dirt floor. Now, this has dirt floor. Our IY church has actually been, has cement pad on the floor. You see the benches, quite narrow, no backs. Can get quite interesting. Definitely a third world church there, but we're thankful for it. Flowers up front. The ladies will bring them every week, and often Beta, our clinic worker, will arrange the flowers. They bring them from their own gardens and arrange the flowers each week, so you never know what you're going to see. Sometimes Mrs. Bourbon, she doesn't have her phone. She says, Cynthia, take a picture of this. This is really pretty. So anyway. Other needy areas that need the gospel. We need to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest all over the world. But even within the country of PNG and in our local area, we've got groups of believers who don't have pastors. Winema, some of the people are walking to Ibai, 2-hour walk or a pickup truck ride, about 20 or 30 minutes to come to Ibai to church. Frida there is not a believer. She delivered a stillborn baby boy last year. So I've had contact with her for that. But Winema has a group, but no pastor. Irma, my Irma lady, starting at the top, Betty, and then Mata with Boyman. Some of you remember Boyman from my pictures. There's Boyman, still alive as of a few months ago. Amazing, because he's teeny-tiny and developmental issues, but still alive. And then at the bottom, Panina with baby Cynthia. These ladies are precious. I see them in clinic, minister to them, try to encourage them, but they need a pastor. They don't have one, and we are praying that God will send one. Ambai mentioned already her village of Mogiagi, 2 hours to the other direction of Kilau. They either walk or take a pickup ride in, and they need a pastor as well. They've got land, but no pastor. And so we're praying for all these areas that do not have regular spiritual leadership. Church nursery mentioned already a little bit, but this is where my heart is as far as church ministry, not just because of the cute kids, and they are cute. I can look in the nursery and count about half of them I've delivered. All of them I see in clinic. And then working with my ladies like Mike and Helen and others that work in the nursery there. But really, it's a ministry to their moms, because most of their moms are unsaved. And they are coming to church. They're hearing the word of God and praying for their salvation. I'll put their faces in front of you a little bit. Margaret with another Mane. She's asking questions, but she's confused about baptism and good works from another church she was in. Maggie, lots of questions. She can repeat the gospel back to me, but there's no understanding yet. And so praying for her salvation. I delivered that little one. Celia, her husband and herself, she and Saku have been coming, but just no understanding. You can sit and give her the gospel, read scripture with her, talk with her, and she'll listen and smile, but no understanding yet. We're praying for her salvation. Dorcas, this was my only true home delivery, dirt floor, bamboo mat, and delivered little Queenie at home. Dorcas worked with Mrs. Bourbon quite a bit. Lots of Bible study, talk back and forth, studying scripture, and she seemed to be maybe right at the point of believing, but just not quite. And shortly after I left, her husband went off with another woman. She left the area. We don't know where she is, or we didn't the last that I heard. And still needs to be saved, so praying for her salvation. Larissa came to church one Wednesday, and I started talking with her because I knew she hadn't come before. And she said, yeah, I want you to pray so I will be saved, and then I can help in the church. She had no understanding of the gospel. So opened the Bible and started talking with her, gave her the gospel. Since then, she's been less willing to hear. She doesn't have questions. She doesn't really want to talk, but she needs to be saved. Little Margaret, I delivered her. And there's Janet. She is a believer, of course, going to be baptized next week. And there's Julie and baby Cynthia together. So all of my mamas that bring their babies to church, that is a lot of my ministry, either through the clinic or through the nursery ministry. We have lots of patients come to clinic. This is our waiting room. It's great if it's not raining. If it's raining, it's kind of miserable. But it is a pretty view from our clinic yard. These people hear the gospel every time they come. We talk with them inside as well as we've got the opportunity. And we were praying the Holy Spirit will open their hearts and shine the light of the gospel into their hearts and help them to understand. Lots of patience, lots of wisdom needed. We never know what a day will bring in the physical needs of our people. Maybe back pain, maybe baby shots, maybe cough, maybe ear infections. But maybe someone will be carried in with a life-threatening injury or an impending heart attack or a dying baby. A lady might walk in with high blood pressure and a headache and die in the clinic several hours later. We might receive somebody who was severely injured with a bush knife. He was in the process of shooting somebody, and they went after him with the bush knife. That was actually Joyce's husband a few months after she cut her finger off. And Jeremiah, Ambai's husband, took it upon himself to take him to town. He probably would have died if he hadn't have gotten to town that night. And Jeremiah took him because he knew that he told me that's what God wanted him to do. And so you see those things and your heart rejoices that a life has been saved, but this man still needs to be saved. Matt and Josh might bring us one of the ladies who has been beat up by her husband. That happened right before I came back. One of our ladies, Boma Gi from Kila, was beat up by her husband. He was accusing her of unfaithfulness. He was probably the one that was being unfaithful, and I had to repair her wounds and talk with her, encourage her, love on her, and it's hard to watch that kind of violence. And when you watch people who do not know Christ enter eternity, and you're pretty sure that they have not believed, that is horrifying. It's sobering. The man who came with the heart attack walked up to the clinic yard, kind of short of breath, started getting really sweaty, ended up laying on the clinic ground. Within 20 minutes, he was gone. And Belinda and I witnessed to him the whole time because we knew he'd heard the gospel. He was a local man. And we knew he knew the gospel, but we were fairly certain he had not believed in Christ. But it is sobering when you see people entering eternity. When I was at Bob Jones, one of the sayings Dr. Bob III would take us through, the most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today, and we see that a lot. I've never been as close to death as I have been in PNG. We have people die right on our hands, right in our sight, and many of them are entering eternity without Christ. Those who know me know that I love delivering babies. I love helping them through that process and holding that newborn in my hands and helping the mom through that initial delivery postpartum time. But it's very scary when you have complications. There's many times that I'm driven to my knees. Lord, please help. I don't know how to take care of this. We need to get them out. Please provide a way. And God does provide a way to get them out. But needing lots of mercy, lots of medical skill, lots of help in these situations, because I know that if I'm taking care of this mother and I know that she dies, many times she will go into a crisis eternity. So besides the fact that I want her to be able to have the baby safely, I want her still alive so she has another chance to believe if she hasn't already. This one in the middle, that baby at the top, I thought I was taking the picture because I thought that baby was going to die. Just newborn, heart not beating very fast, not breathing well, but he lived. And Maria is one of our girls that has made professions of faith. She's since turned her back on the Lord as far as we can tell, but continue to tell her and talk with her, look, God is good to you. Look what God has done for you. God saved your baby. God has done this in your life. Since then, she was involved as an accomplice in a very horrific murder of a young woman in our village, another Sanguma situation that Sam is working on talking down. And it's just sad to see people moving away from God instead of towards God. But when you have all of these situations, it does give you open doors for the gospel. It's hard to have lack of resources, but one thing I've had to learn is God is in control of that too. He knows the resources we have. He knows the resources he's given to people, and he is in control of life and death. Many times in these kinds of situations, you just have to have peace that God knows what he's doing, and he will glorify himself through all of these different situations. Faustina at the top had a heart defect, should have been repaired. In the States, it would have been. She died a few weeks after that picture. So lots of situations, heaviness and death and sorrow are embedded in this sin-cursed world. With believers, you rejoice with them that one day God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither will there be any more pain. With unsaved people, we want them to know that peace and that joy. There is sin and its consequences. These kiddos have been affected by sin. First one, little Elizabeth, born in adultery within a family in our church, was given away early and didn't grow well because of that. Mane, Helen's little boy that's going to be three, he doesn't have a dad. He is a single mom who's been through a lot, and he's going to be affected by that, praying for God to use his life as he grows. These last two, their parents were killed in violent attacks. This one in the Clemson outfit, her dad was shot in an election violence before her mom even knew she was pregnant with her. When I delivered that baby, the mom was just singing out the dad's name throughout the delivery. It was very heartrending. The last one, her mom, when she was just about a year and a half, was killed in a Sanguma violent attack. So the kids are affected. Lots of things we can't do, humanly speaking, we can't do anything about. Lots of immorality, syphilis, HIV, violence, abandonment, all the Sanguma accusations. But one day, again, God will wipe away all tears, and he uses these situations for unsaved people to bring them to Christ. Clinic challenges. This guy in the middle, head injury. This is where Kirith and I get a message. They killed this guy down the road in this fight. Oh, wait, they didn't kill him. They almost killed him, and we're bringing him to you. So you don't know what you're going to see when they bring. And so both Kirith and I were working together, and he was stable. We were able to fix him up, but I had 2 hours to say, look, you almost died. You could have died. You weren't ready to die. Let's talk about what God wants to do to help you so you will be ready and so Christ can save you. To my knowledge, he has not believed in Christ to this moment. You have lots of respiratory emergencies. It's hard with the baby when they can't breathe because we don't have any resources resources besides, you know, a little bit of oxygen and NEP treatments and antibiotic injections, and we do everything we can. These two babies actually did survive. Daisy just got baptized today in the group of Kilau baptisms, and so thankful to see the work that God has done in her and her life. Her husband, Elijah is a sweet man. He is a believer, loves his family, loves the Lord, and he was saying at that time, look, if God chooses to take her to heaven, that's okay. We will pray for God's will to be done, and God saved that baby for them. Tract ministry, biblical response to immorality. We see lots of immorality, lots of works-based religion. We use this tract a lot. This last tract was written by Beta, our clinic helper. Will you be with me in heaven? She's very zealous to get the gospel out to people. So thankful for that and for the tracts that we have to use. Another tract, Rachel wrote, will I see this child again? We have much infant mortality, babies that die of things that we can't help. We use this track with those moms to be able to give them the gospel and to have an open door with them. But it's sad to see babies die. It's hard for me, pediatric nurse, delivery room nurse, to see that happen. But God is in control of those things as well. And we have the good news to give them in that open door that we have. Babies that go to heaven right from the delivery room. Pauline actually was born, that baby was born on the road. They brought him in and he was gone, and they had to tell the mom that he did not live. The other two, CPR, nothing that we could do, and those babies were not living. It's holding a baby that's perfect, except that they're not breathing and they don't have a heartbeat. It's hard. But God knows what he's doing. He's given us opportunities with Angela and her husband to give them the gospel, give them the tract. Anna, she delivered a baby boy last March. And these are the situations where we want them to see the goodness of God that leads them to repentance, to see God's mercy onto them, to see the God's good gifts to them. To my knowledge, Anna has not yet accepted the Lord, but she's heard the gospel on many, many occasions. Acts 26:18 says to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Chris Anderson has written a missionary hymn that I love. For me, it says PNG, the first verse and chorus, go to the world for the sake of his name, to every nation his glories proclaim. Pray that the spirit wise will open darkened eyes, granting new life to display Jesus' fame. In Jesus' power, preach Christ to the lost. For Jesus' glory, count all else but loss. Gather from every place trophies of sovereign grace, lest life be wasted. Exalt Jesus' cross. And that's what we want to see God do in PNG and around the world. Thanks.
That's a lot. Cynthia will be around here today. Ask her questions. She's going to be here tonight as well. Don't be afraid to come sit with her at Song, Scriptures, and Snacks and pepper her with questions. She's got great answers. My family and I had a chance to have her over last night. She loves to talk about what God's doing in Papua New Guinea. I encourage you to avail yourself of getting to know her and her ministry so that we can continue to support and pray for her. We'll be dismissed now and get ready for our morning service. You are dismissed.